long line of Masons. I've been accused of being a member of the Illuminati.
Ooh, the Illuminati, yeah. So that's where you get all the fake good stuff, the fake pizzas.
Full disclosure, I am a happy customer of Illuminati's, and I'm not allowed to tell you. I will no longer confirm nor deny if, in fact, I'm a member of the secret society we've heard about.
Who's in the secret society? Let's see, could it be Page and Strzok and McCabe and Comey and, let's see, Bruce Orr? Could it be Rod Rosenstein? Who else is in the special secret society?
Ray, later after the program, I'll show you the handshake if you want.
Well, I know the handshake you're talking about.
We'll have to go down to Hoyt's.
Okay, Hoyt's is open and we're there.
I wonder if Barrington Hills' own David McSweeney, Republican state rep, is a member of the Secret Society. I don't know.
Well, we'll have to ask him.
I don't think we're allowed to.
No?
We'll just have to wait.
Tell. We could ask. He's not going to tell.
He wouldn't tell. Yeah. He joins us now, returning guest here on WDLS and a decision maker in the state of Illinois to give us a little preview of what we think. We'll be in Rauner's State of the State address coming up a little bit later on this month. Representative, good morning, sir. Welcome back to our GabFest. So Mr. Rauner's kind of off the grid this week for some reason, seems to not be facing the press. What would you like to hear him say? What would you like his focus to be during the State of the State address?
Well, John, I want him to talk about spending in the state. We have still $2.3 billion of appropriations that are in unpaid bills. We incurred $1 billion of late interest payments. That's just like taking the money down Michigan Avenue and burning it.
Yeah.
We don't have pension reform and Medicaid reform. And the governor should be talking specifically about how things are going to change from the last 3 years. Hopefully he's going to finally present a balanced budget, and we're going to focus on cutting spending in this state. We're losing so many people to higher taxes, and that's just absolutely essential. I mean, we have a great state, as you know, but we have terrible politicians.
How can Governor Rauner exert more influence, obviously, on the Democrats, speaking, of course, about the Speaker and the President of the Senate? I mean, he certainly has come at them pretty hard, especially in the last year, trying to make Madigan the focus of his reelection campaign. What else can he do? He's in the minority.
Well, what he has done incorrectly, in my view, John, is that from the beginning, he didn't build coalitions. I mean, Ronald Reagan is my hero. Ronald Reagan had a Democratic House, and he worked to build coalitions, to line up members to support the agenda and to take on Madigan that way. I mean, the governor likes to talk about how he's tough on Madigan. He hasn't met with him only once in the last year and a half. He met with him last April. The way to take on Michael Madigan is to take him on every day and to actually engage him in discussions. And more importantly, to engage his members, especially some of the targets in election campaigns who like to talk a good game about cutting spending and lowering taxes, but a lot of the times vote the other way. So I think the persuasion, working with members, actually engaging with Madigan instead of being scared of him, I think that's probably the best way to move forward.
Well, I would hope at some point, you know, lawmakers in our state would have to look and say, this isn't working. People are leaving in droves. Our property taxes are too high. You know, we've got to work together. And I know that you're a guy that's, I believe, said somewhere midsummer last year that we need to cut property taxes. Is that something that's even feasible in this state?
We have to. Even the Democrats. I mean, I listened to that debate the other night. They were all fighting over who was going to raise the income tax the highest and talking about a progressive income tax that would drive people out. But even the Democrats are talking about property tax reform. Everybody in this state wants property tax reduction because we are losing people. We're now behind Pennsylvania. We're number six. 33,000 net loss in population in the state of Illinois, and I hear from people over and over again it's due to the high taxes. And to hear the Democrats the night they were fighting over who was going to raise the income tax, that would be a disaster too. But even the Democrats are talking about property tax reform. It has to happen.
Let me go back and kind of follow up on something you said a couple seconds ago. We're talking with Republican state rep David McSweeney of Barrington. So you want the governor to meet regularly with the Speaker of the House, Mike Madigan, his nemesis. But you want the governor to target Republicans who vote sometimes with Democrats. That seems like trying to have it both ways. You can either hold the line, as a lot of people to the right of Governor Rauner would like him to do, and just make Madigan, the focus of all the anger. But at the same time, the Republicans who are kind of urging the governor to do the same thing, you want them targeted and primaried in your own party? I don't understand.
I'm talking about Democratic targets. Okay. I apologize for any confusion on that. I'm talking about the Democratic targets. I mean, there are a lot of Democrats this year who are up for re-election who like to say that they favor lower taxes and less spending, okay, and then they vote the other way. That was my point.
Okay, so I misunderstood. Because we've talked to Jeannie Ives regularly here, one of your colleagues, and she's, of course, going to primary the governor because she believes that he's waffled too much for the Democrats. So I don't quite know how to reconcile both those positions and expect the Republicans to be victorious.
And let me be clear in what I'm saying, John, and the whole issue with Madigan is Madigan doesn't have superpowers. You know, he's just a man, and Rounders made him out to be, you know, some kind of invincible person. What I'm talking about engaging is not caving in on taxes and more spending, but trying to move forward on some point. I mean, not meeting with Madigan for a year and a half hasn't worked, right? I mean, that's certainly with $1 billion of late interest penalties and with a borderline investment grade rating and $200 billion of liabilities, that hasn't worked. So I want to be clear, I'm not talking about any type of situation that we're going to spend more money or raise taxes. We actually need to cut taxes in this state. But not engaging at all in any discussions with the General Assembly has been a bad strategy. And when I'm talking about targets, I'm talking about like Reagan did. He took some of the conservative or moderate Democrats and he brought them on board for his program.
Well, I used to say this to Tom Cross. There seems to be downstate Democrats that are very sick and tired of Mike Madigan. It's just getting them to walk across the aisle and say, okay, at the risk of my own neck being on the block, okay, here we go.
I work across the aisle and passed a lot of bills, and a lot of the guys I work with and women are from downstate, just like you said. They're pretty conservative on economic policy, but it takes time. I mean, it takes time and effort to develop personal relationships, and that's what the governor has not done. And I think that's what the biggest mistake is that he is not engaging in the process and trying to actually pass his program. He had 44 items that he ran on. He hasn't passed one.
We have a text message. Representative, we have a text message here from a gentleman named John. He lives in Glen Ellen. He says that his taxes are more than his house, his mortgage. So you're talking about, and he said they're approximately $12,000 a year for a house that's approximately 2,400 square feet. That's a lot of money. In order to give people any kind of relief, I mean, you really would have to talk about a drastic cut. Is that even something that can be done?
Absolutely, and it has to be done through consolidation of local governments. We have 7,000 units of local government. We need to start consolidating these townships, some of the park districts. A lot of the school districts need to be consolidated. That's the key to lower property taxes. We have too many units of local government, and I also believe that we need to mandate reductions in property tax levies at the local level, specifically on units of government, excluding K-12 education and community colleges. You could freeze those units of government permanently, but the only way that you're going to, in my view, make a meaningful reduction in property taxes possible is by consolidating local governments. That's been my key issue, and I'm pushing right now to allow voters the ability to consolidate some of these townships.
Well, let us know how we can help in that effort, because I agree with you. And finally, we have to ask you, are you a representative of David McSweeney, a member of any secret society?
I am not, John, but I am a Chicago sports fan, and these days with the way the Hawks are playing, it feels like a secret society.
Okay. Well, do you want me to propose you for membership in one of the three that I belong to?
Well, I'll get back to you on that.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Have a terrific day. We appreciate your time as always.
Great, thank you very much.
Take care. That's Representative David McSweeney of Barrington.
If you could do those tax cuts by June, that would be awesome.
Okay. Mike wants to point out the historical difference between the Tip O'Neill Democrats that Mr. McSweeney referenced and maybe our current crop. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, guys. Tip O'Neill's Democrats debated between how much should go into this department's budget and so forth, things that were negotiable. Today's Democrats, Nancy Pelosi's, they're anti-Constitution. They want to convert us into a Marxist collectivist state.
There's a big difference. You're absolutely correct. Historically, a big difference between Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill's relationship and Donald Trump and Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer's relationship nowadays as well. You know, Tip and Reagan, and Chris Matthews wrote a really good book about this because he was Tip O'Neill's aide-de-camp in those days during the Reagan administration. You know, they would fight tooth and nails in those days. It was a different media landscape, too. But at the end of the day, Tip O'Neill would show up for a glass of whiskey. a little tumbler with the Gipper.
You know, and you didn't have the leaks that you have now.
No, and
what was said in those meetings? Man, I'd love to hear what was said in those meetings.
Well, Reagan was not a very vulgar guy.
Yeah,
that's I'm not so sure, but Reagan was not a vulgarian. He was a pretty classy act all the way through his career.
For more Big John and Ramblin' Ray, tune in to them live weekday mornings 6 till 9 a.m. on WLS AM 890. And you can stream them at WLSAM.com.